Good evening. This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday night, March 31st, 2020. What we'll hear this evening? How hospices are protecting patients, families, and staff from COVID-19. The new 211 service in the Arkansas River Valley from United Way Fort Smith area, and a brand new web resource for restaurants and food service businesses still operating and allows them to connect with potential customers. Tomorrow morning on Morning Edition, inside a factory in Maine, workers hustle from machine to machine, making what some are calling white gold. How a sudden demand for toilet paper during the coronavirus crisis is creating challenges and an opportunity for one fledgling business in a place where the paper industry has seen hard times. Morning Edition, tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 on 91.3 KUAF. And tomorrow morning at 5:30 and 7:30, Antoinette Grajeda has newscasts for our region and state. And at 6:30 and 8:30, Pete Hartman provides updates on what area nonprofits are doing. That's in the community spotlight. The Bentonville No Kid Hungry Dinner scheduled for early June is postponed because of the coronavirus outbreak. Organizers say there are other options for those able to support the work of the nonprofit and its supporters. You can learn more at nokidhungry.org. This afternoon, state briefing in Little Rock from Governor Asa Hutchinson and state officials included what the governor calls a bit of good news. It also included updated numbers regarding Arkansas's coronavirus cases and a concern about out-of-state visitors crowding Arkansas's state parks and the Buffalo River. First, that news that the governor says is encouraging. He pointed to a chart that had modeled where state health officials expected the number of cases of COVID-19 in Arkansas to be through mid-April. And the line representing reported positive cases is a bit higher in projections than the current actual count.
We have actually lowered that trend line so that we are under it, the blue line where we were projected to be at 500 earlier than that. We are now at 500, but we're projected to be up close to 1,000. And so this is good news for us when you see, and the public needs to understand, that the red line means that we're having success in our social distancing.
The chart projected there would be close to 900 confirmed cases on this date, but this afternoon's total was 523. The governor, as well as Dr. Nate Smith with the Arkansas Department of Health, say more testing could give more information, but the numbers available indicate a bit of social distancing success. There are now confirmed cases in 51 counties with 8 deaths so far, 35 recoveries, and, as of this afternoon, 23 Arkansans requiring ventilators. The governor says he is concerned about reports he received from crowded spots along the Buffalo National River and in some state parks.
And that is out-of-state visitors that are coming to Arkansas as a place that they can come, a place that they can enjoy our wonderful outdoors. They can, as we always have asked them to come here and enjoy our national parks and our state parks. But it has become a problem.
The governor says he's directing his administration to examine ways to curtail out-of-state travelers into Arkansas.
It may involve some closing of our most frequently visited state parks. Again, this is not an Arkansas citizen who we want to be able to enjoy and practice social distancing. This is a comment about our out-of-state traveler from areas that are considered hot spots that might be coming to Arkansas. And we want to be able to limit that out-of-state traveler.
Dr. Nate Smith, director of the Arkansas Department of Health, says like many other states, there still isn't as much testing taking place as officials would like. To that point, though, he says testing is becoming more frequent in Arkansas.
We are working on that. It's very challenging because there's national shortages of reagents. We have had to go to a manual extraction process in our lab, which limits us somewhat. But we were able to do 94 tests in the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Laboratory yesterday, and UAMS was able to do 83 in their lab. They've increased from less than 50 the day before. And going forward, we are going to be doing testing in our lab 24/7. We have the personnel trained to do that, and as long as we have reagents and supplies, we'll be able to increase and optimize our testing capability.
Keisa Smith, Deputy Director of the Department of Human Services, says DH staff continues to work, some from home during the pandemic. She says there are still duties that require face-to-face work, like investigations of child abuse, and she says there are changes in many DHS operations.
We have recently been given permission by the federal government to take SNAP applications by phone and waive interviews during this emergency, but there still has to be individuals processing those increases in applications. And also, there are some staff that have to be present for those individuals that do not have a phone and internet access. But we have seen a great increase in the number of applications we receive. And so those individuals that are working remotely and at the office are seeing a considerable rise in the work that they do.
The daily press briefings are archived at Governor Asa Hutchinson's YouTube channel. And KUAF will continue to offer live coverage of the briefings as we're able, most of them taking place at 1:30 each afternoon. This is a Tuesday evening edition of Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. While there is no clear timeline for when the coronavirus pandemic will end, economists are doing their best to try to predict its impact on Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley. The Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Arkansas released a report last week that gives us an idea of what the sales and job losses will be in the region in a number of industries. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek tells us more about their projections.
Mervin Jebaraj, the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at the Sam Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas, says they're in the early days of figuring out the kind of impact the coronavirus pandemic will have on the region.
What we tried to do is look at the industries that are most severely affected. These were businesses that were asked to be closed by the governor or the mayors of the different cities.
Industries like restaurants, bars, nail and hair salons, gyms, other recreational facilities, and hotels.
In part, they were not asked to close, but since travel is essentially ground to a halt, several hotels have indeed suspended operations, and you know the few that are remaining are operating at a much lower capacity than they would normally operate at.
Jebaraj says the report is also based on a few assumptions. One is that the outbreak lasts from March until June. In March, business ramped down because of social distancing measures. In June, it ramped up as the outbreak subsided, while the most restrictive directives were in effect in April and May. The other assumption they made is that during those 2 months, sit-down restaurants lost 80% of their business, while gyms and nail and hair salons made no sales because they were shut down. Jebaraj says for the ramp down and ramp up months, they assumed all the businesses in their report made about 50% of the sales they usually do.
And then the assumption about 50% of June is just that. We have to draw a line somewhere as to when we think this will end.
Jebaraj says their estimates of losses are fairly conservative because they looked at what the sales in those business sectors were in 2019 and assumed they would be the same in 2020 when it's possible they could have made more money. And he adds they only examined losses in the four largest cities, Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, and Bentonville.
And just within those four cities, it was $200 million worth of lost sales. About $150 million comes from the restaurant sector itself.
According to the report, Fayetteville and Rogers would be the hardest hit by the loss of economic output, with $112 million and $86 million respectively, since they have a greater number of restaurants and bars than the other two cities. With sales losses come job losses, and Jebaraj says they project the region will lose 5,000 jobs. 3,000 of them will be in the restaurant sector.
Hugest hit is really in the restaurant and bar sector. Obviously, the restaurant sales account for a much larger portion of our economy than bars and clubs do, but nonetheless, that's really where we're seeing most of the job losses.
Again, Fayetteville and Rogers would be hardest hit by the job losses. Fayetteville is projected to lose nearly 1,800 jobs, Rogers about 1,400, and Springdale and Bentonville would lose between 800 and 900 jobs each. Jebaraj says additional jobs could be lost indirectly.
When you think about the overall overall impact on jobs. That's going to be, you know, the places that did business with the hotels, the places that did business, say, the food suppliers, that did business with the restaurants. They're going to see their sales decline as well. There are going to be job losses associated with that and those sectors as well.
With job losses, Jebaraj says there will also be labor income losses. But some of that will be replaced by the unemployment benefits included in the Federal CARES Act that Congress passed last week.
The federal government just passed a bill that is fairly sizable, provides fairly generous unemployment benefits included for, I think about a 4-month period. So I think those labor income losses will be replaced in the form of unemployment benefits, but of course those job losses will remain.
Jebaraj says their biggest concern going into the coronavirus pandemic was the permanent closure of businesses like restaurants that regularly operate on very small margins.
No cash on hand to cover rent, utility payments, other fixed costs that they might have, loans that they might have taken out during this time period when they're making no sales.
But Jebaraj says there is some good news in the federal bill in the form of emergency grants and forgivable loans. The bill provides $10 billion for grants up to $10,000 to provide funds for small businesses to cover immediate operating costs. It also allocates $350 billion to the Small Business Administration to provide loans of up to $10 million. Any portion of the loan used to maintain payroll, keep workers on the books, or pay rent, mortgage, and existing debt could be forgiven, provided workers stay employed through the end of June.
Now is the time to provide a lot of education to small businesses about what help is available and what programs are available so they can take advantage of them quickly and get their employees back working at their establishment, even if they don't really have a whole lot to do right now.
With losses of both sales and labor income, Jebaraj says cities in the state could expect to lose sales tax income, which is used to fund municipal and state operations. The report projects the region will lose $4 million in sales taxes. And while Arkansas now has an internet sales tax, that likely won't be enough.
So it doesn't really change the picture of how much sales tax the city is going to receive in any given month. Because all I've done is substituted whether I buy that in person at the store with buying it online. So it's not additional sales, it's the same amount, and so it's the same amount of sales tax collection.
As far as grocery store sales, Jebaraj says there may have been an increase in sales of certain items during the run-up to the outbreak. But people will buy less later in the year, so on an annual basis, it's not likely those sales will amount to more in taxes than normal.
The piece that is not replaced is obviously the sales at restaurants. So whenever this opens, people are not going to go out and eat for all the times that they missed out eating on eating out in March and April and May.
The governor announced last week the state is already expecting a $353 million hole in its budget this fiscal year, which ends in June. The state is expected to receive $1.25 billion from the federal government for costs related to the coronavirus outbreak. But Jebaraj says that may not cover budget shortfalls.
It's not entirely clear what that $1.25 billion is going to be used for, whether it should be used for health care related measures or if it could be used to plug the budgets that have been devastated by losses in sales taxes. So I think we don't have a lot of information on what those rules are yet.
Jebaraj believes the only way city and state government budgets are going to be made whole again is with help from the federal government, which they got during the recession. But he adds, this pandemic is not that.
You know, it's not a situation that we've had before. In any recession that we've had, there's usually, there's a way to deal with it, which is you send money to households and you encourage them to go spend the money. We can send money to households, except we are not encouraging them to go out and spend the money in the ways that they would normally do it.
The good news, Jebaraj says, is that there was nothing particularly wrong with the economy before the pandemic ground it to a halt. So assuming a lot of businesses and capital are not destroyed in the process, it's possible the economy may return to something close to normal this year.
But again, that entirely depends on how long we have to enact these closures. And so kind of it's very important for people that don't need to be outside to stay home and maintain physical distance from other people so the disease stops spreading. Because if we need to keep doing this for months long, but we're not entirely sure how long we can sustain keeping an economy on ice.
And if that ends up being the case, Jebaraj says they'll have to revise their projections. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
The report also examines the economic impact of the coronavirus on Fort Smith and Russellville together. It projects the River Valley will lose nearly $78 million in sales from the leisure and hospitality, recreation, and personal care service industries this year. Restaurant and food service sales account for more than 80% of those losses. The report also projects sales tax collections from all of those industries could drop by $1.5 million. This is Ozarks at Large. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Arkansas Department of Health has directed medical facilities, including hospices, to take strict measures to protect patients, family members, and staff. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich tells us more.
Even during a global pandemic, Circle of Life Hospices CEO Catherine Grubb, speaking from her office in Springdale, is on duty providing quality end-of-life comfort care to patients and families.
We serve the four-county area, Benton, Washington, Madison, and Carroll County, and we provide hospice and bereavement services to that whole four-county area. As of today, we're caring for about 225 patients, and about 90% of them are in the place they call home, whether that's their own home, a nursing home, or assisted living. And about 20 to 25, about 10% of our total patient population at any given time is in one of our inpatient facilities, which we have two, one in Springdale and one in Bentonville. And that's where patients come when they have higher level care needs. They have symptoms that aren't able to be managed in the home primarily.
Established in 1992, Circle of Life, a nonprofit hospice, employs a team of doctors, nurses, chaplains, social workers, hospice aides, bereavement counselors, along with trained volunteers. But Grubb says, due to the coronavirus pandemic, Circle of Life Hospice must operate in compliance with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the Arkansas Department of Health, to control this spread and limit exposure while still serving families across the four-county region.
So those patients that we do have in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, we are considered essential caregivers, essential staff for them when they are on hospice. So the majority of them, we are still able to get in and make nursing visits. As far as our other disciplines, our social workers, our chaplains, our volunteers, the majority of them have shifted to more of a phone consultation and support, just to try to further limit any outside exposure within those facilities, because they are having to be very careful these days to make sure that they're doing everything they can to keep people out that might potentially have been exposed to COVID-19.
Grubb says any patient diagnosed with COVID-19 and are nearing the end of life qualify for hospice care, and she's made sure her staff are fully protected while doing so.
All of our staff, when they make visits, whether it's in the inpatient setting in one of our facilities or in a patient's home, they're wearing a mask and gloves. Every single one of our staff members are now doing a screening every single day. They come to one of our inpatient facilities and have their temperature taken, and they get screened for any COVID-19 symptoms prior to giving any patient care, to make sure that our staff are healthy when they're going out there and not, you know, having any exposure. So we're doing everything we can on our end and still providing high quality end of life care.
Visitors to Circle of Life Hospice inpatient facility, she says, are carefully screened.
We are limiting visitors to the patients that are in our inpatient facilities, and those visitors do have to pass that screening process before they're allowed into the facility.
Only primary caregivers and immediate family to visitors per patient are currently allowed until further notice.
I would just like to reassure the Northwest Arkansas community that we are doing everything we possibly can to make sure that we are still able to provide the absolute best in end-of-life care and bereavement support to our community. And our commitment to that is unwavering. We're incredibly appreciative of the support of the community in making sewn masks and gowns for our staff and providing meals and just doing everything they can to support us. And we are incredibly appreciative of that.
Circle of Life provides bereavement support at no charge at two grief centers housed in their inpatient hospice homes. Grief center programs include support groups, grief classes, in children's workshops. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The efforts to flatten the curve and slow the spread of coronavirus have had a devastating effect on the restaurant industry and the people who earn their living from food service. Some restaurants and cafes are trying to stay open by offering delivery or curbside service. But knowing which eateries are open and when they're open and what they offer can be a maze of social media searches. A new website, and by new, we mean it launched yesterday morning, attempts to let Northwest Arkansas residents, bistros, and even some farms connect with customers. The site, wheretoeatnwa.com, is a creation of Food Loops, a company that specializes in reducing food waste sent from restaurants in Northwest Arkansas to the landfill. Michael Krause with Food Loops says his company has built deep relationships with its restaurant clients.
We've heard lots of horror stories. We've heard lots of frustrations. And one thing that we heard several times was, hey, I've got this deal going on. Hey, I've got a special. Hey, we're now doing delivery. Hey, we're now doing curbside. Can you share it? Mm. And we'd be like, absolutely. And so we were on our Instagram stories. We were posting, if Tuscan Trotter or somebody had a deal, we put it there. And that was a nice little, you could kind of go to our Instagram for a couple of days and see, oh, that's where the deals are. And then it kind of dawned on me, there's different websites, different municipalities that are doing exactly the website that we put together. I saw one in Minneapolis that had, it was the same concept. It was a Google map with listings of all the places that were doing delivery or curbside. There's one in Little Rock doing something similar. So for me, it was, let's put together a resource for Northwest Arkansas that is super simple. I mean, just the title of it, Where to Eat NWA, hard to forget, really simple. It's its own thing, and it's Food Loops' response to COVID-19. It's a free website for restaurants, free for users. It's just something we are offering to the community. You can go and sign up as a restaurant for about 5 minutes. You can put in you can put in anything, Kyle. You can put in like your gift card URL. You can put in, if you're using Grubhub or Waiter or whatever delivery app you're using, you can put in those. You can put in the description, kind of the deals you have going on and your hours, you're open. We wanted it to be as click friendly as possible.
We're talking on Monday afternoon. I've just gone to wheretoeatnwa.com. That was launched Monday morning. And I see a list of different restaurants, and there are different things I can search for. Are they doing curbside? Do they do delivery? Do they have gift card?
And that's, to me, the start. It's where am I? Okay, I'm going to find things in Fayetteville. Okay, I need curbside pickup. I can click that, and then you're there. Like I said, we launched this just this morning. we've been working on this quite a bit for the last week to get it user friendly, and I've had I think we have 26 or 27 restaurants that have signed up already, and those have just been in the last 2 hours. And so, the goal here is that anybody who's looking to have their restaurant promoted to sign up and make it easy, and then for the public, this is a resource for them.
I've clicked on one that I have to admit I did not know existed before I went to this webpage. It's apparently a food truck in Siloam Springs, Louisiana Influence. You go there, it gives you the phone number, it gives you the address, when they're operating. Yes, they have curbside. Yes, they have delivery. Yes, they have gift cards. It gives you their website, things like that. And this is covering all of Northwest Arkansas. There's Springdale, Farmington, Bentonville, Rogers, Siloam Springs, Fayetteville. This is for the entire Northwest Arkansas region. And it's all sorts of different things. There's from coffee to beer to pie.
Yeah.
No, and even this morning, I had a call from somebody who saw the website. It's a local farmer, and they said, hey, can you add a local farmer as a category? Because, you know, those people rely on local restaurants to sell their produce, to sell their meat to. And so I said, oh, my gosh, absolutely, I'll put that on there, and you can sell some more meat off this website.
I'm wondering, Michael, have you had many conversations with restaurateurs about how it's been over the last 2.5 to 3 weeks for them?
Oh, yeah, I've had lots of conversations with people. And, I mean, it's one of the hardest hit industries in the United States. I mean, in the U.S., the hospitality and service industry is about 15 million people. It's one of the biggest, in, you know, one restaurant on a time might not be 15 million, but you add them all up, it's a big thing. And, I mean, there have been countless restaurants that have just closed out of a response to, you know, it's not wise for us to be open. And there are others who don't have that, I don't want to say luxury, but just can't do that. And so they're trying to keep their doors open, but it is a huge struggle. I mean, people from, that's my 2-year-old in the background. So we've heard of people getting laid off in mass numbers and, you know, just keeping the core. And I mean, it's really hard. Everybody is hurting in this. And so any little bit that we can do to help, you know, I think is important.
All right. The website is wheretoeatnwa.com. Anything else we should know?
Share it. Absolutely. I mean, spread the word and let people know that there's a centralized place to eat safe. And as everybody should be, stay at home when you can. Wash your hands.
Right. Michael Krause is with Food Loops, a company that reduces food and other waste from area restaurants and events. Michael and Food Loops created the brand new website, wheretoeatnwa.com. With me on the phone, I think from her home, is Lee Wood, our general manager at KUAF. Lee, you are at home, right?
I am at home.
And I believe that you spent part of the morning setting up one of your child's virtual classrooms?
Yes. Yes, I did. My 6-year-old had her kindergarten class with about 8 or 9 other students on Zoom, and it was one of the cutest things I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you were able to do that. This is the second day of the spring fundraiser for 91.3 KUAF. As we mentioned in this spot yesterday, it's anything but a normal time, anything but a normal fundraiser. How is it going so far?
It's going very, very well. We're hearing from lots of KUAF listeners and getting a lot of support from the community, which is tremendous at this time. Just like you said, this is not how we usually have a fundraiser. There are no volunteers in the building taking donations over the phone. We're directing everyone to give through our donation page online, supportkuaf.com. We do, however, have a challenge pledge, which is something we normally have during our fundraisers, and it's simply a KUAF donor who said, I'm going to give you a donation, but I'd like for you to use it to encourage other people to give. And what we've done is pooled all of those challenge pledges together for one big challenge that's $23,000. So every gift happening right now, up to $23,000, is going to be matched dollar for dollar thanks to these generous KUAF donors. And I'm very happy to say that we are just over $17,000 raised toward that total. So we're really moving quickly toward meeting that challenge, which is tremendously helpful. And it's always heartwarming during a fundraiser to hear from our listeners in the community that supports us. It's almost triply so now to hear from our community members and get their support.
Now, we did cut our expected goal in half from $100,000 to $50,000. Did that for a number of reasons, partly which still, even in 2020, we expected 50% or more of contributions to come in the old-fashioned conventional way, people calling us, and we're not having volunteers in, so we knew that would happen. And even though that goal had been cut in half because of COVID-19 realities, we know that our expenses, at least at this point, don't appear that they'll be cut at all.
No, we have not seen anything from NPR, any of the other national distributors of programs, that there's going to be a cut. Of course, we're sort of in early stages, but and of course, the equipment fees, the electricity, our staffing and benefits, all of these things continue at the same rate. And we did want to adjust our goal because we knew that it was going to be such an unusual time and an unusual way to do a fundraiser. But the community support has really been tremendous, and people are giving at a rate that is close to what we normally get during a fundraiser, which is so heartwarming to see. And I think because if we continue at this rate, we will meet that challenge much faster than we thought we would. So if that happens, I've been talking with Sherry, our membership director, I think we're going to extend the goal a little bit, go a little bit further. So maybe we're not cutting the original goal in half, but maybe cutting it by a quarter, something like that. So we'll be watching the total today. When we meet the challenge and we are able to put in that $23,000, that gets us to $46,000, which is tremendous. And then I think we're going to shoot for something closer to $70,000 for our overall total.
All right. Well, like you said, we'll watch how it goes. And thanks to everyone who has helped with, create that challenge fund, everyone who has contributed so far at supportkuaf.com. If you're able, we certainly appreciate it. And I can tell you from the Ozarks at Large team, we are deeply committed to continue bringing you information from our region about COVID-19 and other topics as well on Ozarks at Large. But that commitment extends to the whole staff and what we're doing with NPR and other programming as well.
You're absolutely right. And we're hearing from community members that say that they are relying on our coverage to get the vital information they need to know on a daily basis. So we take that responsibility very, very seriously. We're here to provide that service to our listening community and to the public. We can do it because of listener support. And of course, we know that not every listener is going to be able to give at this moment. If you're able to, we appreciate your support now more than ever, and it looks like we're going to be able to bring in more than we thought, hopefully, in the budget at this time of year during the spring fundraiser. So thank you to everyone who's given. We appreciate your support so much.
Lee Wood is general manager at 91.3 KUF. Lee, thanks for your time. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kyle.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Families caring for a loved one at the end of life don't have to face it alone. Circle of Life Hospice has been offering compassionate care for patients and families for over 25 years. End-of-life care from a professional hospice team is available with little to no out-of-pocket expense. 800-495-5511 or nwacircleoflife.org for more.
This is Ozarks at Large. The United Way of Fort Smith area has launched a 211 call center for Sebastian, Crawford, Logan, Franklin, and Scott counties. The call center is a way for people to speak to an operator to obtain information on a variety of community resources 24 hours a day. Late last week, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda reached President and CEO Eddie Lee Herndon to learn more about the service, which he says they've been working on for a while.
This has been in the works, believe it or not, for 5 years. I grew up in the River Valley here in the Ozark Mountains and moved away to Tennessee to go to college. And during my work career, I was president and CEO of United Way of Western Tennessee, and we had 211 in the state. And I was actually co-chair for our United Ways for the state of Tennessee, and I was on our governor's Tennessee Regulatory Authority Advisory Committee. And we also ran a call center, so I knew how it would work, and I've been right in the middle of that. When I came back to Arkansas and moved home, I was very disappointed to find that Arkansas didn't have it. But we were very, very blessed that the United Way of Northwest Arkansas still had it for the counties, in the northwestern part of the state, but the rest of the state, we didn't have it. So we started working at that point. It's been very slow and trying to work with other United Ways. But Antoinette, one of the things that we felt like there were two options, either try to do our own call center or just partner with United Way of Northwest Arkansas. And I really believe in collaboration, and they have been so good. So we're really within the last 18 months, we've ramped up trying to establish networking with them and bringing the River Valley counties on board with 211 instead of duplicating a service, just go with them. And so we formed a great partnership. They have been great up there, Jackie Hancock and Dallas Mudd and their and the whole staff, and Melody Tominski did a lot of groundwork for us. And so we were able to implement that. Now, the irony is, unfortunately, we turned it on right in the middle of this pandemic with COVID-19. The good news is we were able to bring up Sebastian County, Crawford County, Logan County, Franklin County, and Scott County. The bad side was the call volume went out the roof, as you can imagine. So our call wait time has been a little bit long. It's getting better now. But yeah, so that's really the story behind it. And it's been a long time in the works, but we were able to partner and outsource that to the United Way of Northwest Arkansas. And I'm very, very excited about the future of this and for the state of Arkansas. And the United Way of Fort Smith area, we have a tremendous resource guide with hundreds and hundreds of points of service. And when you go to our website, you can see all the categories, whether it's abuse or adoption or foster care or shelter or food. We were able to take that resource and move it over to 211. And 211, once it really gets fine-tuned, it will be that resource guide on steroids, because now with the information and referral service, it's 24 hours a day. There's multiple languages that can be translated. You don't have to remember a number to go, what's that shelter number? What's the food bank number? What's crisis intervention? How do I report child abuse? If you have a question, you simply dial 211. Or a citizen like yourself, when you're asked, hey, what's the number for this service? You can just simply say, call 211. And that's the beauty of it. And then, of course, during these times of trial, like last year with the flood, wish we would have had it then, or this year with the pandemic, it's such a great resource.
So for someone who hasn't used it before, how does it work? You simply call this number when you want information on what specifically?
Yeah, so it's a social services. And what I tell people is anything that is non-life-threatening. So you can take the pressure off of 911 and other offices in town. So it's anything with social services, human services. So it would be in regards to you could call about the census. You could call about medical care in the area and what providers. So for us, that would be Baptist and that would be Mercy. You could call about shelter or food or daycare or Meals on Wheels, just really any service that's related to health and human services. 211 is going to have those resources that they can direct you to where you need to go. And that's the beauty of this program. And one added benefit is we're really hoping it will take pressure off of non-life-threatening calls to 911. Of course, when you're in an emergency and you need 911, call it. Don't hesitate. But if it's not an emergency and you just need some answers or you just need some communication, maybe it's about your prescriptions. Maybe you need to know, is there a prescription discount program? You just call 211. So it's a very large, encompassing umbrella of information where you'll have a trained information and referral operator on the other end of the phone that has these resources at her fingertips. And of course, and if you want to always call your local United Way office, or you can do that. And we're certainly here to help.
One of the benefits of 211 is that it can take some pressure off of first responders working the 911 number during this pandemic. One of the other things that you, United Way of Fort Smith area, is doing is launching this COVID-19 Community Response Fund. Can you tell me more about that?
We had unsolicited some of our companies reach out and say, how can we help? We want to help with the folks that are experiencing, backlash or circumstances because of COVID-19. And so we had Arvest Bank and OG&E step up and make donations. And we created the COVID-19 Response Fund. Someone can go to UnitedWayFortSmith.org and you'll see a donate button and you can read all about it. And the monies will go to agencies that are serving on the front lines for those that have been affected through this hard time, whether it's from medical issues, whether it's our senior care, whether it's from those that have been laid off or feeding our children on the weekend. And so you can go and donate. You can also text the word RESPONSE, R-E-S-P-O-N-S-E, RESPONSE, to 91999. So you text RESPONSE to 91999, and you can just make a donation from your cell phone. And I was asked about the fundraising aspect. And Antoinette, I just want to make it really, really clear. I don't think any of our charities right now are trying to actively fundraise. But in this particular instance, we have so many people that want to bless others because they have extra, or they put some money away, or they just want to do something. And in doing so, we want to create opportunity for those people to be able to pass a blessing forward to someone else. You know, years ago, and I worked in college athletics, and I had an older coach from Florida State. He always wanted to buy my dinner. And I was like, you don't have to buy my dinner. And he said, you know, Eddie Lee, you never let me buy, and you're denying me a blessing. And I learned a real good lesson in that. Sometimes we just have to allow somebody, you know, to bless us because they have extra. And so in doing so with our COVID-19 response fund, we just want people from their heart, if they do have extra and want to help, just know we've got a committee of board members and other community members, a diverse group that will be receiving these micro grant requests. And that application's on our website. The agency will complete it, tell us what they're doing, their timeline, how they're going to measure their results. And then our committee will decide who gets these little micro loans. And we certainly hope during this stressful time that these little additional dollars that will be pushed out to these agencies will certainly help the clients that they serve. We've had a lot of calls about volunteering. You know, right now the volunteer opportunities are limited because of the social distancing and what our president and governor has put in place. But I know at the end of this, we're going to have so many volunteer needs. And so just stay tuned and stay involved by looking at our United Way of Fort Smith website.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, and good luck with your programs.
I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to share what we're doing with you today.
That was Eddie Lee Herndon, President and CEO of the United Way of Fort Smith Area, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. The new call center can be reached by calling 211, texting your zip code to 898-211, or by visiting arkansas211.org. More information about the micro grants provided through the COVID-19 Response Fund can be found at UnitedWayFortSmith.org.
Ozarks at Large is an incredible show that y'all are lucky to have. I hope that doesn't sound like too bossy, but it's true. My name is Sarah Birmingham, and I live in New York City. And I was a producer for Ozarks at Large. What was it like to work for Kyle? As I say, one of the greatest things was just being able to say to Kyle, I have this idea, and him, you know, saying, okay, go ahead. Always being open-minded from that point of view. Also, the wearing a vest. No, I don't think you call it a vest. Anyway, undershirts year-round. Carl Kellams believes in being adequately clothed at all time. So, yes, even in the middle of the hottest of Ozark, the hottest Arkansas August day, he's going to have a couple layers on. And so there it is. My name is Sarah Birmingham. I live in New York City. And I was a producer for Ozarks at Large from 2014 to 2016. And you are listening to KUAF 91.3.
So good to hear Sarah Birmingham's voice. Please, Sarah, you, your family, and everyone in New York City, please take care, be well. And Sarah, not only am I wearing a vest and shirt today, still putting on the tie when I come in to the Carver Center for Public Radio these days. Thanks so much for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Ozarks at Large. As the coronavirus crisis sets in, shoppers are stocking up on groceries, and stores are working to keep up with the spike in demand and to keep customers and workers safe. Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth spoke with Lisa Garrett of Ozark Natural Foods Co-op in Fayetteville to see how they're coping with these unprecedented challenges.
In the past few weeks, grocery stores have become one of the few public spaces still open, and navigating them can seem like a minefield for shoppers and store owners. Walking into Ozark Natural Foods in Fayetteville, you can see a difference. Cashiers wear gloves, some customers walk by with face masks, and some sections, like the bulk food aisle, are marked off by a set of yellow chains. Lisa Garrett, marketing director for Ozark Natural Foods in Fayetteville, says the store already had extensive cleaning measures in place, but because of concerns over the spread of coronavirus, she says they're taking extra precautions.
We have increased the frequency in which we clean all of the departments and the high-touch areas throughout the store, and we've provided our staff with detailed guidelines regarding frequency and appropriate cleaning products. We've also temporarily asked customers not to bring in reusable containers and encouraged them not to bring reusable bags. And then we have discontinued all of our sampling, closed our salad bar, hot bar, and removed all of our reusable silverware and dinnerware. And then just recently, we turned our bulk into a full service department, and we have a designated staff member helping fill customer orders.
She also says the store is emphasizing guidelines set by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about cleaning, maintaining safe distances in the store, and reducing contact between workers and shoppers. But the most pressing challenge caused by coronavirus for grocery stores is keeping shelves stocked.
So we did, see a rush of people last week, and I think it seems like most grocery stores experienced that same rush. So there are items that people were drawn to, more of your staple goods. And some of those are out of stock. But we, our shelves are still looking pretty good at this point. So we definitely still have food for sale. And customers don't seem to be panicked. They seem to be, very aware of their surroundings and just trying to be respectful of one another and the staff.
And unlike other grocery stores in the region, Ozark Natural Foods is a food cooperative, meaning it's owned and managed by consumers. And as Garrett explains, that allows the store to work more closely with local farmers and wholesalers.
So because we have over 100 local farmers and vendors, we're able to make up for product gaps through ordering more from our local suppliers. And we're able to give additional support to local vendors that are seeing loss of income from other sources. So we also have a relatively low barrier to entry. When it comes to bringing in new producers, we're able to bring them in pretty quickly as long as they meet our standards. And help our local community by increasing local purchasing.
Still, she says, with all the uncertainty around the pandemic, local suppliers are concerned about sustainability down the line.
The farmers and producers are now working with restricted resources. So, for example, if you're an egg producer, but there's a run on chicken feed, how long will you be able to continue to feed your chickens to produce those eggs? And at what point do you consider an alternative business model? And so in addition to the restricted resources, they now have to adjust to restricted markets with restaurants being closed and uncertainties with farmer markets in the area. So I think now more than ever, it's crucial that we support our local farmers and vendors and really focus on doing what we can to meet their needs. The food industry is a fluid industry, and whatever role you play within that industry, whether it be a grocer or a distributor or manufacturer, you want your inventory to turn as quickly as possible because otherwise you're tying up your resources. So the inventory that you have on all these different levels really exists based on a forecast of demand. So when demand in any one product spikes unexpectedly, it disrupts the entire supply chain.
And if the outbreak does begin to impact the supply chain more significantly for Ozark Natural Foods, Garrett says she hopes it's the company's connections with local producers that will offer the grocery store a safety net.
As far as a contingency plan, again, it really goes back to our local producers and, that we've always had this relationship with them as a co-op. And, we are able to, you know, look to our local producers to fill any kind of product gaps we may experience.
On top of all of this, Ozark Natural Foods is preparing to build a new store. Outside the building site on Lafayette Street in Fayetteville, construction workers use a forklift to move pipes and materials. For now, Garrett says construction at the new location is moving forward as planned.
We're all experiencing these changes together, but they are still on their schedule, on their timeline. And, you know, this project has been going on for a few years, so resources, you know, at this point had already been allocated toward that project. And everything, as far as that is concerned, is moving in a positive direction.
She says they hope to have a grand opening sometime this summer. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Daniel Carruth.
A quick reminder, we're keeping you up to date with developments regarding how COVID-19 is affecting where we live. There are postponements, yes, but also news from the governor and newly developed resources announced to help. You can find updated pandemic-related news at our COVID-19 page at KUAF.com. And on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large, how a pair of Northwest Arkansas nonprofits are working together.
So the people who this is really affecting right now that don't have jobs, let's just take the people who are working in the service industry here. They didn't have a safety net to begin with. Now they don't have a job. So it's going to take much, much longer for these folks to come out of this financially than maybe some of us who are lucky enough to still have our jobs or have a safety net. We've got savings or investments or whatever.
A collaboration between United Way of Northwest Arkansas and HARC to streamline and expedite help. That's on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Elkins. 91.3 KUAF is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF and is produced at the Carver Center for Public Radio and in living rooms, bedrooms, and closets across Northwest Arkansas. Another tip of the hat to the hardest working team in broadcast. Thanks, Ozarks at Large team. Contributors today included Zuzana Sitek, Jacqueline Froelich, Daniel Carruth, and Antoinette Grajeda. Timothy Dennis mastered our show. Our thanks to KUAF's general manager, Lee Wood, for her help on this Tuesday edition of Ozarks at Large. And thank you to everybody who has been able and has contributed during the first 2 days of our fundraiser at KUAF. We do appreciate it. And I promise we'll continue to bring you the news and information from home and from far away during these uncertain times. Again, if you are able and can contribute in the amount of your choice and you'd like to, you can go to supportkuaf.com. Don't forget, we do have a page at KUAF.com that allows you to follow the latest news and events and postponements and developments related to COVID-19 in our region. You just look for the COVID-19 update page at KUAF.com. We're also available, Ozarks at Large is, as a free podcast through services like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, many other places. And if you go to ozarksatlarge.com, you can find complete past editions of our show as well as individual stories and interviews. And if you think there's a story interview that you could share with friends or family or on social media that would be important to somebody, we have links there that you can do that. Finally, if you have a smart speaker, you can just tell that smart speaker to play Ozarks at Large. Thanks so much for making us part of your Tuesday. We will be back with you tomorrow with a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, tomorrow at noon and 7 p.m. here on 91.3 KUAF. Be well, stay safe, talk to you soon.